Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is with us. He's on our side. The plan of God is taking place. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you feel. Only be moved by what you believe. We believe that it will be just as God said it would be, and that we're coming out on top. If you will, open your Bibles to James chapter 5. And we'll just start right there. It says in James chapter 5, we'll start reading with verse number 1. It says, "Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. It says, you have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Says you have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren." He's talking to me and you, to the saints. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receives," what? "The early and latter rain." Notice he said a combination here, the early and the latter rain. There's a rain that's yet to fall on this earth. We got a glimpse of it last night in prayer. Remember, I saw it. And the Lord just brought back to me. You know, anything the Holy Ghost talks to you about, you're going to have a scripture to go along and coincide with it. And when the Lord was talking to me about it, He took me back in the Scriptures and just showed me how Elijah prayed. You know, and they sent the servant out to look for the cloud, and there was none for several times there. And then He sent him back again. He said, "I came back," and he said, "I see the cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." Isn't that right? And then he gathered up himself and outrun the chariot. Well, I saw that last night, that we're in that day right now, and I heard in the Spirit a sound of abundance of rain. Now, it wasn't just like rain that would fall on this building when there's a torrential downpour, then this area, torrential downpour, I guess would be the word to say, in this area, and we've heard the rain fall. Many of us have been here, you know, with metal roofs, and you can hear the rain. But it was a different type sound, but I can't describe it, so I don't know anything in the natural that would describe it. And what I seen was the glory of God. It was the rain is the glory. The rain is the power of God. Yes, and in the natural, you know, rain brings life. It brings, you know, without water, we can't survive at all. You've got to have some water. Of course, you got to have food, but you got to have more water than you do food. And you got to have water sooner than you have food. And so in the spiritual realm, water, rain, is a type and shadow of the spiritual nourishment that is necessary for us to go on in God. And it's also a time where God is pouring out His Spirit in this day and hour that we live in. Because I heard the sound of abundance of rain. Amen. And I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. See, we're looking for something big, but all God needs is somebody that's available. He said He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I don't know if you qualify, but I meet all those qualifications in my resume and more. So if you meet those qualifications, you qualify in this day and hour. God is moving by His power. But notice here, He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and He has long patience for it until receive the early and latter rain. Notice here, He says, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth in verse 7, and have long patience for it. But when does that patience come to an end? When He receives the early and latter rain. That denotes a time frame. That's what this is denoting right here, the early and latter rain. And we've come to the time now because time is upon us. Not in God's years, because there's no such thing as time in the realm of the Spirit, but there is time according to man and the things pertaining to man. We live by time. We live by years. We live by days, weeks, and months, minutes, and seconds. We live by that, and God deals with the human race on a segment of time, and we're in the segment of time right now that the latter rain will be poured out, ready or not, here it comes. Amen. Ready or not. Remember last night, I saw it. I saw the cloud the size of a man's hand, and then I heard the sound of an abundance of rain in the time of prayer. I heard it, and I saw it, and the Lord said, there it is. And then that's when He began to talk to me about gathering up my garment and run. Take up what God has given you and run. It's time to run. Gathering up the garment and the spiritual application will be gathering up the anointing. Use the anointing. Use the power that God has given you. It's not time to walk anymore. It's time to run. It's not time just to, you know, even lope. It's not time to even jog. It's time to run, because things have sped up now to the extent that there's not enough time left to walk. There's not enough time left to jog, Pastor Carl. So when you get out there in the marathon, you're going to ride a bike or run? You're going to do both of them? It's a triathlon? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I don't want you jogging in no triathlon. I want you running in the name of Jesus Christ. And just say, somebody ask you, what are you running for? Say, I'm running for Jesus. Amen. He's coming soon. But I believe now this is not also what's happening, this latter rain that's being poured out. See, it was supernatural how the prophet outrun the chariot. You understand that? And the horses. He outran them. But how did he do it? By the anointing of God that was on his life. So what we're not talking about working in the natural, working in the flesh, working with our own mentality, our own wisdom, our own thoughts, our own ideas. And that's the problem in the church today. What we're talking about is running with the anointing of God on our lives and being quick to obey and do what God says and walk in His way. This anointing that's coming is coming upon us in a supernatural way to cause us to be able to accomplish feats that we could never accomplish within and of ourselves and our natural human strength and ability. It's like Brother Skinny and Brother Heavy. Y'all remember me telling the story about Brother Skinny and Brother Heavy? You know, they was in my daddy-in-law's church. This is a true story. My wife sitting here, she can verify it. My daddy-in-law was here, he could verify it. But we're just calling Brother Heavy and Brother Skinny. I think one of them was Brother Green and the one was somebody else. But anyway, we're calling one of them Heavy, one of them Skinny. And my daddy-in-law said that they was always in competition against each other. You know, the shout the loudest, the run the fastest, and hop the highest, you know. They was always, one of them didn't want the other to be outdone. So whatever one done, the other one tried to top it. And one was set on this side, and one was set on that side. And both of them were deacons in the church, is what they call it. They was big on deacons, you know, back in the Church of God and the Assemblies of God. And so my daddy-in-law got to preaching real good, and that's in the days of the cord microphones. You know, we didn't have all the wireless stuff that we got today. But that was in the days of the cord microphones, and he got to preaching and a spitting and a hopping and a jumping and carrying on, you know. And you're talking about that and him preaching, it brings me to another story. Let me tell you another story. Another story is a Church of God preacher. Remember where we was at on this one. Another Church of God preacher is preaching and preaching at a funeral, and he got happy, kicked a casket. And when he kicked the casket, he got all discombobulated and spit his false teeth out, caught them, put them back in his mouth, and didn't miss a lick. And kept going, brother. Hey, you talking about, they didn't know an embarrassment or nothing, brother. He just went on about it, you know, teeth or no teeth. He's going to preach the gospel. So anyway, there's no telling what you're liable to see in old time Pentecost and the Assemblies of God. We may get back to some of that. So if you got any false teeth and you spit them out, just forget it and go on. Amen. It'll be all right. But anyway, my daddy-in-law, he's got to preaching. And he got excited and dancing and jumping, you know, and oh, Heavy sitting on this side, no Skinny sitting on that side, you know, and my daddy-in-laws are shouting and carrying on. Every now and then, they'd just let out a yell, woo! Oh, Heavy would, no Skinny would hear him. He'd let out one little louder, woo! And, you know, they'd try to get the people going in the church, you know, try to get something happening. So my daddy-in-law said, and this is my daddy-in-law's true story,
He said, I was concerned. He said, because I knew if old heavy and skinny, he said, took off the whole service, I'd lose it, you know. And of course, the way that we used to know if we had good services or not, you'd come out of the church and say, did y'all have a good service today? You know, out everybody going out to eat. Oh, we had a good one. Said, what happened? Said, I don't know, but the preacher didn't get to preach. I mean, and that was what they call a good service. And of course, we can have services where the Spirit of God moves that way, certainly. And God just takes control and supernatural things happen. We've been in those services. We've been in them kind of services, and we're not knocking those services. But back then, whether God was there or not, they would do it because they didn't want to hear what the preacher had to say to start with, you know. But anyway, old heavy got to shouting, skinny got to shouting, so my dad-in-law realized if they get going too much here, then they're going to take the service away from me and the whole crowd's going to go wild and I'm not going to get to preach this message I'm wound up with today. So he was trying to be calm. But in the process of my dad-in-law trying to be calm and get this message delivered to the people, he tripped on the mic cord. You know, that was down there dangling at his feet. He tripped. Well, old heavy and skinny thought he was shouting because he staggered a few steps across there. And what he did, skinny jumped up off the front and he took off. Woo! And when he went by old heavy seen him and he couldn't stand it. He fell in there behind him. So skinny's going, woo! Around the church and old heavy's behind him. Woo! Woof, you know, he's going around the church and hollering and carrying on. Well, every time old skinny come around, he's going so fast. He had them old slick bottom shoes. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you women on carpet, when you get a pair of them old slick bottom shoes, ain't no grip to it. And you got that carpet, and back then they had the shag. Shag, you know what I mean? You remember shag? And buddy, it was some carpet. I'm talking about, it wasn't like we got today. Any church you went to back then had the shag. If you had carpet, you had the shag stuff. Anyway, he would come around that corner, his feet would slip, and old heavy's behind him. Woof, woof, you know, hallelujah. And everybody in the church, praise God, hallelujah. And they kept watching Skinny. And Skinny, every time he'd come, he'd get a little faster, you know, because he had to outrun old heavy and outdo him and everything, you know. And he'd come, and his feet would slip a little bit, and gather him up his steps, and two or three times he'd go on. So everybody got to wondering what in the world gonna happen if old Skinny, if his feet slips out from under him. Oh, Lord, the children were trying to cover up their eyes because they didn't want to see what's gonna happen next. And they was praying, oh, God, don't let Skinny fall. And he'd come around there, you know, and sure enough, Skinny's feet went out from under him. And he lay there and praying in tongues on one end and kicking in tongues on the other end. Here come old heavy a barreling down through there, turning the corner. And old heavy's just a running wide open. Woof. Oh, praise the Lord. And old heavy's got his eyes closed or running around that thing, because if you can close your eyes and run, you're really in the Spirit. That's the way it was. But anyway, he come around that corner and they're praying, oh, God, don't let Heavy step on Skinny. Oh, God, don't let Heavy. And old Heavy picked his foot up, looked like he was fit to come right down in the middle of his old belly. But he reached down, stepped, sidestepped him, picked him up like a football and took off running around the church. That's a true story. Amen. Glory to God. So if you take off and run with somebody... Woo! So I'm here to tell you the latter rain of the Holy Ghost is coming. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're going to see manifestations of God's glory, God's power. We're going to run, we're going to dance, we're going to shout, we're going to jump, we're going to laugh, and we're going to have the glory and power of God. We're going to have heaven on earth. Amen. Heaven is going to visit us in the time that we live in, and the Spirit of God, the whole object of God being inside of you, is to take control of you if you'll give yourself completely to Him. He won't make us do anything against our will, but He wants us to get to that place. And yes, there is a glory. There is an anointing. In fact, Dad Hagin said the Lord told him this. He said, there is a move of the Spirit that will be lost to this generation, he said, unless you lead them back into it. And that was learning to yield to the Holy Ghost, not just with your tongue, but with your entire body, right. You know, and let God move and work through you. But he said that the Lord was waiting for the precious fruit of the earth in James chapter 5, verse 7. So I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, so be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until he receives the early and late rains. Well, again, we're at the time that the late rains and the latter rains are going to fall. I saw it last night. Now, when the exact time that we're going to have it, I don't know. But I know this, the way it began is the way it will end. So how do we know? Last night, remember before I got up into here to speak last night, the Holy Spirit said to me standing right here, the word just as audible and clear as if I'd heard your voice speaking to me. I heard the word of the Lord coming to me saying, and this is what He said, the way it began is the way it will end. And remember we went into Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and the way it began, the end time began according to Joel. Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 28, says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And so in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that was fulfilled. How do we know? Because Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel years and years and years and years earlier, which marked, which was an indication that we entered into the last days right then, on the day of Pentecost. But now we've come down through approximately a 2,000 year period from that time that Joel prophesied about, from that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we've come down to a time that's approximately 2,000 years, a window of time that's approximately 2,000 years, and now we are at the end of the end of the last days. How do we know about the last days? Remember, the last days, the end of the last days begin in 1948. That's when it began. Remember, while I was here, I was talking about that some. And then while I was praying at Pastor Larry Westforth Church, the Lord said, you've been talking about the last days and ways that you can realize and notice that it is the last days. And truly the signs and wonders are there and other things are there. And then, of course, time is upon us that would show us that we are there. All of those things are there. He said, but there's something else, son, that you've been missing. And I said, what's that, Lord? He said, you've missed the fact that Israel became a nation May the 14th, 1948. And he said, that was also a sign to the whole world that you're in the end of the last days and this thing is about to wrap up. Israel was has not been a nation up till 1948 since Roman General Titus destroyed it in A.D. 70, 70 years A.D., and there has been no Israel, no nation, no country for all those years up to 1948, but do you know what? God said He'd restore them, and He did. If nothing else in the Bible should prove that God's Word is true, that in and itself should prove that God's Word is true. Against all odds, Israel has become a nation. Against all odds, and even those that's come against them, everybody that's tried to shut them down, they've won victoriously every single time. Even those in their own country that stood up and tried to give their country away are not there in power anymore. Because, you can't make a deal with the devil. And that was what was going on. Deals were being made with the devil. And it had to be changed. Adjustments had to be made. When Ariel Sharon is no longer in power. But look at what's going on. And listen, are you belittling anybody or knocking anybody or trying to get on national TV? No, I'm just saying this. When God said that something's going to happen, there's no man that can stop it. Amen. Don't be concerned about governments. Don't be concerned about military powers. Don't be concerned about nuclear bombs. Don't be concerned about atomic bombs or whatever bombs they got that we don't know about. They can't do nothing unless God permits it by us not taking our place. If we take our place, it don't matter what they have or who has where. And listen, I'm not saying that military action shouldn't be taken. Certainly, we have to follow the example of the Lord. But I tell you, when we do take military action, I believe it ought to be swift and quick and quit pity-pattering around and let's just do it and get it over with. Yeah. I mean, as long as you play with the devil and pat him on the back, you know, it ain't going to do no good. It's just going to, what's it going to do? Drain the resources of the United States of America. Are you against it? No. Are you wanting our the men and women of our armed forces to be in harm's way? Certainly not. No. And I pray for their protection just like you do. But I know this, if we don't do something out there, they're going to come here. That's the truth about it. And they did come here.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. But another thing is, except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen make it, but in vain. It don't matter how much military might we got, ladies and gentlemen. What matters is if we stay on our face before God and trust in the living God to take care of us. Yes, I ran over there. You know, they got a bunch of nuts. Forgive me, Lord. But it's the bunch of nuts and kooks over there that wants a nuclear bomb. And I'm here to tell you, they don't want to wipe out just the United States of America, even though they see us as a devil. But they want to wipe out everybody around them. I'll guarantee you that too. You know, they may pat somebody on the back to try to get there and gain their favor for a temporary period of time. But ultimately, if they can get enough people to stand against us and try to take us out, then what they're going to do is turn on them and try to take them out. But I'm here to tell you, the weapons that's formed against us is going to be turned on them in the name of Jesus Christ. If we can find one righteous person here in this nation, God will spare this nation for one righteous person that will stand and believe God. And we have more than one righteous person. Because I know we got a few sitting here.
Amen.
All of us sitting here. You understand?
Yep.
He says, God will do it. God will hear our prayers. And there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop it in the name of Jesus. We're going to come out on top in the name of Jesus. Yes, down at this time of the early rain, the latter rain, there's going to be horrendous events, bad things happening in the world. But there's going to be good things happening in the church.
Yes, that's right.
In this time that we live in. So don't expect just when the glory's poured out. Don't expect when the latter rain to pour out that there's going to be peace on all the earth. No, there's probably going to be, excuse me, and I'm not cussing, more hell than has ever been before. But the greatest revivals that have ever been has been in the midst of the greatest conflict that has ever happened on this earth. People sometimes have to be in a position where there's nowhere else to go but God. Because some people won't even look at God, won't even think about God, won't even turn to God. But when things begin to happen, and listen, I'm not saying God's going to do it because God don't have to. The devil wants to kill everybody on the planet on the planet anyway. And it's the devil causing these things because we would yield to him or permit him to. But it's time that we put a stop to the enemy and what he tries to do. And just because that we're at the time of the outpouring of the latter rain, and even though I hear a sound of abundance of rain, I see on the horizon trouble in the world. It's going to be there. Are you prophesying doom and gloom? Oh, no, I'm just flat telling you what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God, have you got chapter and verse? Yes. Jesus said these times are going to come. You just go read, what is it, Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, Mark, 17, 16, 13, Mark 13, and you'll read about what Jesus said, what happened. And of course, we know that Jesus was talking, and what you have to understand, that Jesus was particularly talking to the Jewish people. And some of the things that he was talking to them about would apply to them only. Some things would apply to the whole world, but some things directly that Jesus was saying was applying only to the Jews, because the Bible speaks to how many groups of people?
Three.
What are the three groups?
The Jews.
The nations, which would be the Gentiles.
The church.
That's right. So we, well, I guess, yeah, we wouldn't be just that. But the church, the nations, and the Jews. It's speaking to them. And so you got to interpret the Bible in the light of who is being spoken to and addressed in that particular passage of Scripture. Is the Bible good for in every area? Yes, we can learn principles and everything. But a lot of the things that Jesus was saying in when he was talking about the end times, he was addressing the Jews.
Right.
And some of these things are going to happen right before he comes back in his coming back to this earth, but we're going to be gone with him, and we're going to come back with him before some of those things happen in Matthew 24, in Luke 21, and Mark 13. So you have to interpret that. If you hang around here enough at church, your pastor will preach on it. He'll tell you about it and talk to you about it. In fact, he has in times past, and about these things. So you don't have to be concerned when we start talking about trouble coming. All you got to do is lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. These things must come to pass.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus said there's going to be roars, there's going to be rumors of wars, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be earthquakes, the weather patterns are going to be goofed up. We can throw all that in. Volcanoes erupting everywhere. I mean, all those things are happening, and we're in those times. And so what is all this a mark, an indication of? It's a mark that we are in that day of the latter rain of the Holy Ghost being poured out.
Yeah.
We are in the day that signs and miracles and wonders are going to flow like rivers of living water. In fact, I sense an anointing. I don't know about you, But I sense an anointing moving on me, even since last night. An anointing that I haven't sensed in quite some time. And I believe it's just a place to enter us into. You know what I mean? But all of us are going to go in there. It's not just going to be for one, but it's going to be for all of us. The Bible is going to come to pass just like the Lord said it would, and no man on this earth can stop it. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Ahab the Arab or whoever else he is. He cannot stop it from coming to pass. And I'll tell you something else. There is not going to be any peace in Jerusalem until Jesus comes back down to this planet and stands on the Mount of Olives. So you can forget that. I don't care what kind of treaties they try to come up with or anything else. Why? Because everything has got to be setting the stage for the Antichrist to set in the temple and show himself that he, or show the world that he is God. He's going to go in the temple of God, so, and he's the one that's going to make the treaty with Israel and supposedly bring peace for 3.5 years, you know, during the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that 3.5 years, he's going to break that peace treaty, and he's going to walk into the temple, and he's going to desecrate the temple, and he's going to set up in the temple, and he say, I am God, and the whole world is going to follow after him. Or many in the whole world is going to follow after him and think that he's God, because miracles and signs and wonders are going to be accomplished because he's going to be the devil incarnate. That's exactly what's going to happen. But that's why you know that we're in that time right now. I was telling my brother Scott, you know, he got a sum of money yesterday. I'm still trying to collect my part of it. But anyway, I said, Scott, Brother Scott, he said, what? I said, you know that money you got? He said, yeah. I said, you better spend it if you want to spend it on this earth because Jesus is coming soon.
Tell him to send it here.
Send it here. Okay, I'll give him the word from you. Amen. His word to you was tie a knot and hang on, so your word is send it here. Amen. And we'll know what to do with it. Isn't that right? But we are in those days. So is this a time to be discouraged? No. And I'll tell you this. Every prayer that you've prayed, everything that you believed and hung on to, you might have already tied a knot and hung on. If you've been tying a knot and hanging on and you haven't seen every answer to your prayer, you haven't seen in sight the end of everything that you believe God for in faith, you hang on because the harvest is on the way. It's coming. I'm here to tell you, God's word works. Satan has been trying to get us to back up off of what we knew to be the will and plan of God. He tried to make it hard. He tried to make it look impossible. He tried to make it even people that wasn't in agreement with it. But I'm here to tell you, it does not matter. God's plan will come to pass if you'll only believe. It matters not what it looks like right now. Remember, I think we said this yesterday, but I'll say it again. In one day, God can turn your situation around. One day. I mean, instantaneously. Remember again, I'll refer to the three lepers sitting at the gate. They were starved to death inside the city. They were encompassed with the enemy. They said, why sit here till we die? If we sit here, surely we're going to die. But let's go over to the enemy. Maybe they'll give us something to eat. If they don't, they'll kill us and they'll be doing us a favor. And as they was walking, three lepers that was walking out across there? While they was walking, God made them troglodytes. They started troggling. That's a good word, ain't it? Good word. In Georgia, you make up words. When I go up north, they all concerned about me. But anyway, they was troggling across that desert so that each one of them's foot sounded like 3,000 soldiers apiece. And by the time they got through, you know, so that means 2 feet sounded like 6,000 soldiers. And then you multiply that times three, you got 18,000 soldiers. And I'm just guessing. I don't know how many. But they sounded like a mighty army. Three old lepers that couldn't whoop their way out of a wet paper bag because of their physical medical condition. There's no way. They couldn't even lift a sword probably, much less swing it, you know, or any kind of weapon of war. But God took those insignificant lepers and he whooped the devil in his crowd and he made them think that this is the enemy. And when they got to the enemy's camp, guess what happened? They was gone. And they left all the spoils, all the food, and overnight, God turned the captivity of the city around. And you say, well, I'm not much of nothing. I don't feel like I qualify for this or qualify for that. Listen, if you were just a leper, Spiritually speaking, that's all God needs. All He needs is somebody that will dare to believe Him, that will dare to get up and put one foot in front of the other and said, my God, I'm not going to sit here till I die. I'm going to get up and I'm going to look the devil right in the face and I'm going to walk towards him. Anytime you ever whoop the devil because you confront him, what the devil tries to get us to do is cower behind the rocks, just like the children of Israel did when they were afraid of Goliath. They sit over there shivering and shaking, but David stood up and he didn't just walk to meet the giant. The Bible says he ran to meet that giant, and when he met that giant, he caused him to fall, cut his head off, and used him for a pulpit to preach from. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you'll run at your giant, I'll guarantee you he'll fall. Said, Brother Randy, what if the giant takes me out? Well, what's the worst case scenario? You go to heaven early. My God! What else can you have? What else can you get? Said, Brother Randy, what if I fail? God cannot fail. God, your God will not fail. If you'll run at the enemy, God will be on your side and you'll overcome and the giants will fall before you. And you'll win every time. But the enemy has got a shivering behind the mountain. He's got us saying, well, if this gets right and that gets right, that gets right, you know, maybe we shrink that giant a little bit, you know. Maybe if he'd just drop his shield or do something. No, David ran at the giant when the giant was dressed in full armor and had an armor bearer by his side. David ran at the giant when the giant had outnumbered him in every area. David still ran to meet him. And I'm here to tell you, when he slung that rock, it was not powered by Ford, Chevrolet, Dodge, or the workout gym. It was powered by the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, and it was not David's aim. It was David's faith that caused that giant to fall. The rock was a type and shadow of the Word of God that was slung at that giant and caused him to fall. You need to start slinging the rock of God's Word. It's like a hammer, and it will break in pieces the mountains that have stood before you. But what God is desiring for us to do is to just get up in faith and say, I'm going on in Jesus' name. You know, it's been said, there's Miss Wigglesworth said, there's something about faith that will cause God to look over a million people just to get to that one person that will have faith in Him. So where is your faith at today? Where is your faith? What are you going to do with your faith today? Put it in action is what you do. True Bible faith is always an act. And we're in the time that God is just looking for people that will dare to believe Him and dare to act upon His Word. We're in that day. We're in that hour. So if God can turn their situation around in the Bible overnight, turn David's and the armies of Israel around just in a matter of, what, 30 minutes or less? Might not have took that long, 10 minutes maybe, when David ran to Goliath. So God can turn the situation around. So regardless of how hopeless it may seem, and the circumstances may be screaming and saying, there's no way, don't believe them. Just run towards the giant. Because the devil is afraid of you, I'll guarantee you. But we're in the day of the latter rain. Verse 8 says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. Says in the King James, it says in Amplified. So you must also be patient, establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Notice verse 18, he prayed again, and the heaven gave what?
Rain.
And then what happened? The earth brought forth her fruit. What did he say the Lord's waiting on? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. How do we get the fruit? The way we're going to get the fruit, he said, he prayed again, you pray, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The only way that fruit comes is through rain. The only way that fruit grows in the natural is because it gets the proper sunlight and the proper rain or water that it needs. Well, the same way spiritually, if we're going to have the rain, we have to pray.
Amen.
And that's what we've been doing. Many others have been doing that same thing. I know we've been in this ongoing meeting now for, well, we'll be, six years in July of this year that when we first began these meetings. Well, there's been a lot of prayers that's been prayed right here, many prayer meetings right here. And if you take the multiplied numbers by the amount of time that we spend in prayer, it'll tell you how many hours and 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 hours that we prayed in this 5.5 year period. It's been a lot. And somebody say, have we been getting anywhere? Yes, we have. We've been getting somewhere every single time. See, God don't settle up every week. He don't settle up every month. He don't settle up necessarily every year or every 2 or 3 years. But sooner or later, payday's coming. God will vindicate his people. And your faith will end in sight. What Satan tries to do is he tries to get you to give up right before the miracle takes place. He tries to put the pressure on and tell you that it's not working. He tries to get you to look at the circumstances. He tries to get you to look at the past and see what you've been through and all the things that's happened. But I'm here to tell you, get your eyes off the circumstances and put your eyes upon the Lord and upon His Word. It'll come to pass just like the Lord said, and nothing shall stop it.
Amen.
Nothing's going to hinder it. It will come to pass. Why? Because we're in that latter day, in that latter time, in the name of Jesus. And he said, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, we've been praying. The heaven's given the rain. Because why do you know that? Because I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand last night, and I heard the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Glory to God. The heavens give forth the rain. Glory to God. Where is that at? Elijah prayed that. Is that 1 Kings 17:18 somewhere? Let's turn back there. Let's just look at what he said. 1 Kings 17:1, it says here, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but how? But according to my word, it says in the King James. In the Amplified, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Now, the reason the Holy Ghost wanted me to, and we're going to get to 18, wanted me to read this to you is, notice the rain is going to come because of a man's word. A man's word. A man's word. That's what the Holy Ghost wanted to read you to. He said, it's according to my word. We think it's going to come because of God's word. Now, God's involved in it, but He will inspire man to command the heavens to open. And we're in that time that we need to pray the heavens open. We need to command the heavens to open. No, we're not commanding God. We're not forcing God. We're not making God. We're making the devil get out of the way so that this thing can take place and we can wrap it up.
Amen.
We can get this thing rolling. Amen. But notice here, he said, there will not, shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's what he said. Now that's bold. Now we was talking about yesterday praying for boldness, remember? Well, this is boldness right here. When you say there will not be rain nor dew. Not only rain, but dew either. But according to my word. Woo! Glory to God. So 1 Kings 18, right? And where are we at now? Verse what?
41.
Well, this... Well, I like where the fire fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the tree. That's 1 Kings 18:38. And then it says in 39, says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is God. It says, and Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, which had been leading the people astray. It says, and let not one of them escape. There's going to be a lot of prophets of Baal that's not going to escape in this day. It says, and they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink. Why? For there is a sound of abundance of rain. He said, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. What he said in 1 Kings 17:1, he said, there's not going to be any rain nor dew, but according to my word. And what did he say in 41? He said, there is a sound of abundance of rain. In other words, I'm fishing a looser and let her go here, boys. Get ready. That's what he's saying. I'm going to loose her and let her go. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink. Why? For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not time to be sad. It's time to be glad.
Amen.
It's all right. You can throw a party by faith.
Amen.
You can start glorifying God by faith.
Amen.
You can praise Him by faith.
Amen.
Because I already heard the sound of abundance of rain.
Of
course, you don't just need my word. All you got to do is listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He'll confirm this fact.
Amen.
That there is a sound of abundance of rain that's about to hit this earth that this earth has never known. We're moving into it in the name of Jesus. It said, so Ahab in verse 42 went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. I found myself there often. That seemed like to me when I get in that position, I can hear from God. I don't know. And I'm not saying that you've got to do the same thing. A lot of times I do that in my private time. But I can hear God. But notice here, he heard the sound of abundance of rain, but he didn't stop there. You notice he done something else. He heard the sound, but he didn't stop there. He knew there was action, further action required. Last night I heard the sound of abundance of rain, but I still got to get it released. I still got to get it coming down. Because it's according to our command, not my command, but the command of the church. We're not commanding God, we're commanding the devil to get back, and you're not going to stop this thing no more. We're coming into it in the name of Jesus. But he heard the sound of abundance of rain in verse 41, and then he started doing something about it and acting on what he heard. He cast himself down, Elijah did, on the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He's in a time of prayer. Verse 43 said, and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. He said, just keep going, buddy. Every time he'd come back, said, there is nothing, he'd say, go. Why? Because Elijah had already heard a sound of abundance of rain. There was nothing in the natural, physical, material world that would give any indication that the rain was coming. But Elijah was hearing in the realm of the Spirit. Hey, I heard something. I heard this rain in the realm of the Spirit, in the natural. If you look out there, you don't see it. I mean, if you look at the church as a whole, it looks like, brother, we're weaker than we've ever been before, and I'm not knocking nobody. It looks like, what are we going to do? But I'm here to tell you, Elijah heard something in the Spirit. Yeah. Elijah knew it was available, and he wasn't going to back up until he had every bit that God had promised. And that's where we're at right now on the time clock of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I have heard the sound of an abundance of rain, and we're going to call this thing in. Yeah. In other words, because the timing is right. See, there's several things involved with working in the Spirit. There's a timing in certain things. Not everything you know about God or every word you get for God needs to be spoken right at that moment.
Yeah. Right.
Remember Dad Hagin in 2003. There was things that he said in his prophecy that the Lord said that it was unlawful for him to utter at that time.
Right.
Was it wrong that what he received the word? No, but it was not permitted for him to say that at that time because the timing wasn't there yet. There was a time to release that word in the earth. There was a time for it to come forth because God had some plans that needed to be fulfilled. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's where we're at right now.
Right.
We're at the time that God is saying this is the time of the latter rain, and so now because it's time, we can release the word and prophesy to the rain.
Hallelujah.
All of us can prophesy.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says you may all prophesy one by one.
Yeah.
So you can prophesy, not just me, but you can prophesy and you can speak to the rain. You can call it down and tell the devil to get out of your way in the name of Jesus Christ and let it come to pass. So there was no sign in the natural that there was rain coming from any direction. I want to point that out.
Right.
But Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain. Where? In the realm of the Spirit. He knew it. It was coming. And he said for him to go seven times. And every time he came back here, you know, six times, he said there's nothing. But at verse 44, it says, and it came to pass at the seventh time. So six times he came back and he said what? What did the servant say?
There's
nothing. What did the servant say?
There's,
so what is he looking for? He's looking for a cloud. He's looking for some physical evidence that what Elijah said was true. Do you know what's happened to the church today? And the reason this thing's been dragging out like it has? Because we've been prophesying and we've been saying that it's here, but the church has went and looked and they hadn't saw any kind of natural physical sign. And they said, oh, phooey, that guy's off the deep end. He don't know what he's talking about. They don't know what's going on. But what they didn't know and what the world don't know is that we're seeing and we're hearing beyond this world, beyond this realm, into the realm of the Spirit, because there is a world out there that we're going to tap into, and I don't care how much they say that it's not there. I'm here to tell you it's there. It's there. Say they might have went and looked a bunch of times and said there ain't nothing to this. This is a bunch of phooey and all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care how many times they come back and say there's nothing. I'm here to tell you there's something. The power of God is there. The anointing of God is there, and we're not going to stop in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. So for six times he went, he came back, and what did he say? The servant said what? There is nothing. He told him to go again. Elijah would not give up. So what are we talking about? You must persevere in prayer by faith. That's fighting the good fight of faith. Just keep saying, it's there. I don't care what it looks like, it's there. I don't care what it looks like, it's there. I don't care what it looks like, it's there. It's there. What's that faith? Faith calls things that be not as though they were. And then in verse 44, says it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Say little cloud.
Little cloud.
God takes little things and does great big miracles with them. That's why he chooses people just like you, just like me, and just like those born again in the body of Christ. You may think you're insignificant, but God is looking for you to pour his power through. It says, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds. But what did it start with? A little bitty cloud. and a little bit of faith. Faith, they just couldn't stop. They had faith that brought it on. And that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was what?
Great
rain that came from a little cloud. Great rain came from a little cloud. Great rain is on the way. I'm here today. Great rain. Says, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And that's where we're at. That's what this rain is about that we're praying for. Is the hand of the Lord to come upon me in the name. And come upon you. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. When the hand of the Lord comes on you, you're going to run in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're not going to walk. We're not going to jog. We're not going to trot. But we're going to run. That's what this rain is about. And I don't care what it's looked like. The world has said, many have said, some have even said to us, bunch right here, have lost our mind. And they are right. We have lost our mind and we've got the mind of Christ. We simply believe that it will be what God said it will be, just like God said it would be, when God said it would be, and nothing's going to stop it. I'm going to stay right in place and I'm waiting, and God will vindicate us in the end. We're coming out on top. Amen. Glory to God. And we might say na 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 na, but anyway, we may not. But anyway, you feel like it when it happens. Amen. But God always shows up and vindicates his people. He will never let his people be ashamed that will trust in him. And listen, this few five and a half years is nothing compared to the eternity that we're going into and spend forever and ever and ever and ever with the Father God, receiving rewards that's beyond our human imagination and walking with God in ways like we can't even conceive right now, because we was faithful to do what God said do and walk out what God said walk out. Said, was we perfect? Well, I don't know anybody perfect, but we stayed with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we made a mistake, we repented. That's the part about it. Hallelujah. Just staying with it, you know. He said to Peter, you know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he said, when you have repented, strengthen the brethren. Do you know that Jesus said that Peter's faith never failed, even though he denied the Lord 3 times? You know why it didn't fail? Because he repented. His faith would have failed if he had not repented. But when he repented, it demonstrated his faith fell not. He was still a believer. Yes, he made a mistake. Yes, he goofed up. Yes, he got in trouble. But he did not give up. And he stayed in there. And God forgave him and turned him around. And he preached on the day of Pentecost. And thousands came to the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're in that time. And we're in that day, and we're in that hour that the hand of the Lord has come upon us. Amen. And so what we can do is we can believe God for the rain, because the rain is there. I don't know if you've heard it. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it. I heard it. I heard a little bit of it this morning, but I heard it a lot last night. No, you might have went out there and looked for a cloud and not seen one, but just keep going. Just keep going, and I'll guarantee you eventually you're going to see something. But whether I see something in the natural or not, I know it's there in the supernatural. I know it's there in the realm of the Spirit, and it will come to pass. And the Bible is going to be fulfilled. See, we're thinking that it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. But if God can turn something around in 15 minutes for the children of Israel, he can turn this world around in 2 days, I'm here to tell you. Millions can get saved in 2 days. 2 days. Why? Because there's millions of Christians. There's many of us out of here. It's not going to take long. You know, it's not. He said he's going to do a short work. Glory to God, a short work. And I don't know about you, I'm going to be right in the middle of it. And if I'm going to be right in the middle of it, you're going to be right in the middle of it. We're going to be right in the middle of it. Amen. All of us are going to be there in the glory of God. The angels of God are going to assist us. So let's take a 15 minutes or so here and just pray and just trust God and follow him. If there's anything we need to pray or say, then we'll do that too. But we know that we heard the sound of abundance of rain. We know the hand of the Lord is upon us. And all we've got to do is use our faith and speak to the heavens and command them to open. Again, we're not commanding God to do anything. He already wants to do it. We're just commanding the devil to get out of the way. Amen? So you can stand, sit, kneel, whatever. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.